Since the last podcast, I had actually made another podcast for about 40 minutes. And let me tell you, it had really good content. But since I did it when I was driving, it was very noisy. So I'm going to have to redo that one. And anyways, the song that you're hearing, listening to, I think everybody knows where it's from. It's from Rocky, the movie Rocky. Unless you've been living under a rock or in the mountains somewhere where there's no reception or Wi-Fi or TV or Google, then you wouldn't know. But there's a movie and it's called Rocky. And Rocky wins, Rocky fights, Rocky's cool, Rocky's got muscles. Rocky's got his chick, her name is Adrian. And Rocky beats everybody up. He wins. And he wins a belt. Because he's a champion. And you might say, what the hell does this got to do with anything? It has a lot to do with it. Because this segment, this podcast, it's about learning how to lose. Because we know how to win. We know how to win. But it's even more crucial to know how to lose. Nobody likes to lose. We're not trained to lose. We're trained to win. You know, I think about how many legends have won. Differences, some stay down, some get back up. Tiger Woods never got back up. I mean, he did, but it was never the same. You know, his confidence has struck. He didn't get up the same. Mike Tyson. My life hero, Mike Tyson. After his era, after his golden era, then he gets knocked out from Buster Douglas. He couldn't get back up. I mean, he had some wins after that, but that was it, though. That was it. Because he couldn't come back. He couldn't come back from a loss. Let's see who else. Trying to think. Let's see, Muhammad Ali was good too. He's a legend. He's an icon. Julio Cesar Chavez was an icon. Brock Lesnar was a champion for UFC. He was a WWE champion for wrestling. He went over to UFC. He won the title really fast. He kept it, but he lost. When he lost, he couldn't get back up. It struck his confidence. So he went back to wrestling after that. There's something about the defeat that messes with us. It messes with you, you know.
messes with you. Because again, as kids, as teenagers, as adults, we have goals, right? And those goals are to win. Win at all costs. Win, win, win at all costs. If you're playing basketball, they tell you that you gotta be the best. If you're playing softball, you gotta be the best. You gotta be the fastest. You gotta stand out. If you're in college, same thing. You gotta excel. The odds, you have to do your part. In business, the same thing. The starting is at zero, and the sky's the limit. They teach us how to win. They motivate us to win. But nobody that I know of shows you how to lose. And not a lot of people tell you that it's okay to lose. That's not what we do. It's too painful. You know, and even if you're not in a sport right now, if you've never been in a sport, at some point you need to lose. Whether you like it or not, you're going to lose. I'm going to lose. I've lost. And it's going to happen. The question is, how are we going to take the loss? Like I said, if we don't play sports, if we're not in professional sports, or if we're not in competitive sports, at some point we're gonna lose. We're gonna lose that relationship. We're gonna lose in business. I mean, at some point you lose. How are you going to do? You know, I knew this person, and this person had a divorce. And I mean, I go way back. I don't want to mention names. And when I seen him, well, I take it back. When I seen this guy that got he got married, and I was like, wow, this guy's having a gorgeous wife, and he's on top of the world, you know. I was happy for him. I was like, wow, this guy came up. This guy is my hero. His marriage lasted about 6 months. I'm talking about, this is probably about over 15 years ago. And if you talk to the guy now, if you see him, this is the guy that was very productive. He had a really good, job. But after the divorce, he couldn't handle it anymore. He lost it. He lost his spark. He lost that motivation. They say that when you lose somebody, when somebody passes away, that it shouldn't take you more than 5 years of that, of mourning. That if it takes you more than 5 years, it could become something chronic and it can be part of your life for the rest of your life. So they say that you have to even set a goal and say, okay, you know what? I'm gonna mourn for this amount of time. But then at this point on, I stop. So that goes with the loss of a family member. It goes with the loss of a loved one. When somebody dies, okay? And I believe that if you're in a relationship, like a painful relationship or a toxic relationship or codependent relationship, and it ends, it's gonna be very painful because that means you're really attached. Like you're unhealthy attached. Trust me, I know about that. I know about that really good. So if you're unhealthy attached, that means you're gonna suffer more than a normal person would. Because that means you're just insane. You're attached to the point that you can't function properly. If it's hard for you to function properly when that person is with you, imagine when that person is taken away from you. You're gonna lose it. The more attached you are, the more on the pedestal that person is, the more it's gonna hurt when you have to give it up, give it away, let it go. Because we're taught how to win, we're not taught how to lose. You know, they say that the diamond is only precious, and the diamond is only valuable because of the valuable that the person that's buying it or obtaining it, it's the value that that person gives it. So if you go to a store and you're looking at a $10,000 diamond and you want to buy it, I mean, something inside of you said okay and you accepted it when the store told you that diamond is $10,000. That one little diamond is $10,000. They look at you in the face and they tell you the price. You look at the diamond is shining back at your face. And all three of you are in communication. The guy that just told you this $10,000, the diamond that's looking at you, and you looking at the diamond, and then you looking at the person selling it to you. There's an agreement there that says, I believe this diamond is worth $10,000. So you buy it, or you leave it. But the value is up to you. Because they say you walk away from it, and that same guy tells the next person that comes up to the diamond the following day, and the guy wants to sell it for more money because he feels that, you know what, I overpriced the diamond. I think I'm going to sell it for more. So then he changes it to $15,000, single diamond. And then your cousin Joe goes to buy a diamond to the same place. He looks at the diamond. And he agrees that it's worth $15,000. And he buys it for $15,000. So that means that you gave it a value of $10,000. Which, in the same diamond, your cousin Joe gave it a value of $15,000. Cousin Joe gets engaged. Your cousin Joe gets married. The girl gets pissed off at him. The marriage lasts whatever, a year. That same $15,000 diamond, the girl's gonna sell it somewhere for really cheap because you're never gonna get what you paid for. It's like a car. You're never gonna get the same thing. So then the girl goes, sells the diamond to the same store. The guy in the store, same guy, looks at the diamond, looks at the girl, looks at the girl's body language, looks at the demeanor of the girl, of her anger, her sadness, her frustration, and she just wants to get rid of it. He looks at her and he tells her, this diamond is worth $2,000. I'll give you $2,000 cash right now. She takes it. She takes $2,000. The guy keeps the diamond. She walks away. The moral of my electrician story that I just told you about, it's the value that the person gave the diamond. I mean, we talked about different people there. One same diamond. And to each person, it had a different value. And obviously, the girl's value to the diamond, it wasn't that much. Because in her heart, in her mind, that had no more value. Maybe when she received the diamond at first, it had a lot of value. It probably even had more than $50,000 in her heart of value, that diamond, because the intention, because the setting of when she got it, because all the memories. But at the end, it's appreciated, because all the crap that people put you through depreciates all the good stuff that they've done. You know, so that's one of the stories that I have about diamonds. And did I make it up? Yes, I did. But it's real. You know it's real. You know somewhere out there, you know that you can identify with them. You know, the same thing for people. You might have this person on a pedestal. You might be married to this person. This might be an ex. And if you have them on a pedestal, that means you're valuing them. If they're not valuing you, why can't you get the same quality, the same respect? Why can't you get the same kind of love that you're giving out? You know, you're gonna receive what you allow. You will always receive what you allow. If you don't like what you're receiving, you walk away. You learn how to lose. And the reason I'm making this podcast about this particular situation is because of that. I don't know how to lose. I don't. My pride gets in the way. And I don't know how to lose. I'm like, fuck that. I can't lose. No way. No. You know, and the other podcast that I had done, if you remember, was about codependency and addictions and neurosis. It's all linked together. Even this. We don't want to lose. We don't want to lose. Even if it costs us everything financially, we don't want to lose. We don't want to lose a person. We don't want to lose the attachment. I consider the attachment kind of like that movie Pulp Fiction. If you guys remember seeing that movie Pulp Fiction. If you paid attention, the stuff that was in the briefcase, nobody knows what it was. Because they give a hint. It was not gold. It was not drugs. It was not money. That's why it's called Pulp Fiction. You know, it was like a fictitious thing in there. It's Pulp Fiction. And a codependency is something similar to that. Like, I keep comparing it to cocaine. I keep comparing it to drugs. Keep comparing it to anything that you can get attached to. It's like Pulp Fiction. That's what it is. You know? Because what's the point? You know, you have a person that lost the family because he was an alcoholic. And then you have a person that lost his family because he was a drug addict. And then you have another person that lost his family because he was in a toxic lifestyle / relationship, even though he used no drugs. So you have all those three people, but there's a lot of similarities in them. First of all, there are people in pain. Second, they lost their family. Third, they all have the same identical patterns, lifestyle patterns, decision-making patterns. And some of those things are like this. It's like, first you got the honeymoon phase of the drug, of the alcohol, of the prescription drug, or of the codependent relationship. You get the honeymoon phase, and then it goes like a clock. Then you get some turbulence. Then you get an explosion. You get, you know, when you're coming down, you get that big fight. And then you get the guilt. And then you get the justification. Well, it wasn't that bad. And you get the honeymoon state again. You know, it's a cycle. And all of those things that I mentioned, they all have it. The same pattern. Google it. Same pattern of codependent relationship, toxic relationship, and drug abuse. Same thing. You know, so when I hear that somebody's, you know, heavy into drugs, or heavy into alcohol, or heavy into gambling, or any strong attachment, you know, I don't even judge them. I don't. I mean, first of all, because I've been there, done that. Many years ago, over 20 years ago, but I've been there, done that. So I don't judge. I don't judge them for that. And I mean, I'm not an example at all right now at this point in life, anyways. But I don't judge them, because that's not even the problem. Like I said in the previous podcast, when somebody has severe problems like that, those are it's like an escape. You know, it's like a band-aid. It's a symptom. It's not the root of it. It isn't. There's always something deeper that's the root. But as far as not letting go, you know, that's pretty heavy. Letting go is pretty heavy. Learning how to lose is pretty heavy. I was watching the
Pacquiao Marquez fight from a few years ago. There's a few of those fights. And most of you are gonna agree with me that Pacquiao's he's not a weak guy. He's not a regular guy. Pacquiao was a champion for a reason. So the fight, that vicious fight that he has inside, is pretty ferocious, pretty crazy. This guy can fight. You know, and I kept on seeing this. I kept on seeing the fight over and over again. I kept rewinding it. I put it on YouTube. Excuse me. So he's fighting Marquez. He's fighting with all he's got. His face shows no weakness. His body doesn't show weakness. He was fighting back. And Marquez is hitting. They're both hitting each other. And then Pacquiao gets knocked out. He gets back up and he keeps fighting with all he's got. His body language never changes. His anger never stops. His fight doesn't stop. He's actually fighting harder. And he keeps getting knocked the fuck down. He keeps getting knocked down, guys. But he's fighting. His eyes, he's got fucking war in his eyes. And he keeps getting knocked the fuck down. Knocked down. And knocked down. Sometimes we just have to make inventory of all of our losses and stop losing. Make inventory of all of our losses. Accept our losses and stop losing. You know, sometimes Pacquiao's got to go home. Sometimes Pacquiao's got to go home and say, fuck it, I've lost. I have to accept it. That's what we got to do too in life. We have to learn to accept certain things and stop torturing ourselves. Would've, could've, should've. None of that shit works. You know, if somebody wants to be with you, they're going to be with you regardless. There will not be distance. There will not be bullshit excuses. There will not be lies. There won't be little sneakiness, little secrets. Fuck that. If somebody wants to be with you, it's because they choose to be with you in their present. And I'm talking to grown-ups. I'm not talking to kids. When you're a kid, when you're underage, when you're a teenager or you know, even younger, you don't have control over a lot of things. You just have to take it. You know, whatever your parents say, then you got to stay there. But when you're an adult with a job and a car, when you're a responsible adult and you're seeing another responsible adult and that person doesn't want to see you, doesn't want to be with you, you'd rather be with somebody else. You need to accept your losses. And accept it. I fucking lost. This person would rather be somewhere else. That's my reality. Learn how to lose. And like I said, I know about these things really good. That's what I'm talking about. I might not follow everything I'm saying. But I'm in the process and I hope to actually one day, hold on guys, I hope to actually one day I hope to actually one day I'm in a process, you know, I'm in a healing process in my life. You know, I made a lot of stupid decisions in my life. I made a lot of impulsive decisions in my life. And I'm in the process. Like I say, I go to codependency classes. I go to like all kinds of classes. I have a life coach. I'm trying to fix my life from the root. You know? So that's why I make this podcast. It's part of my healing. It's part of my healing. And by the way, I am getting some good feedback. Yes, I am. I spoke to somebody today on social media, and that person said that she did listen to the podcast. And then she saved the podcast. What? I was impressed. And I was happy to hear that. Then a good friend of mine, electrician/singer/artist/future celebrity, badass guy. His name was Ruben. He called me. Oh, he sent me a message today. He said, "Hey, I'm waiting for the next podcast." And I was laughing. I was like, "Oh, that's true, huh? I made a podcast." So he said he's my number one fan. So I gotta give a shout out to my boy Ruben. So anyways, I hope you guys are liking these podcasts. You know, this is just real talk. Like, if you guys were with me, if you know me, if you personally know me, you know, this is the kind of conversations that we do. I mean, of course, we laugh and we joke around, but you know deep down that this is who I am. This is what we do. And anybody that's ever worked with me, or anybody that I've ever mentored in my life, this is who I am. This is the conversation that I have. You know? It could be a man, it could be with a woman, whoever. I like deep conversations. So if you have substance and you can have a deep conversation with me or with anybody, I will gravitate to you like this in a heartbeat. Because, you know, usually when I meet somebody, I want to listen to what they say, because I want to know how much information I can give them and how much dialogue we can have, because I learn from people with substance. I learn. And I might not put everything into action right away, but trust me, in difficult times, you think about little things that people tell you, little valuable things. You know, like this one of letting go. This was a lesson. This was somebody told me this. Somebody told me about learning how to let go and how to move on and stuff like that. And to accept my defeat. And fuck, man, it was so hard listening to that. I was like, what do you mean you gotta accept my defeat, man? I can't fucking lose. It's me, I can't lose, I don't lose. And he said, nothing's gonna get better in your life because your problems are so big until you lose and until you pass this period of mourning. You know, it's like if you're sweating out the heroin from your system, sweating out the poison from your system. You have to go through this dwelling phase. You have to go through this terrible mourning and dwelling phase. You know, that part where you feel like you're gonna die. That's our only medicine. That's it. That's how you attack it. There's no other pill, there's no other method. You simply attack it. But cutting it from the root. And that has to do with learning how to let go, learning how to lose. I still don't know how to lose. When I feel like I'm losing, I get anxiety, a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression. I don't like to lose. I can't lose. But I'm learning how to lose. I'm going to tell you guys a story. If you know me, I have a tattoo in my hand. It goes all the way up to my arm, you know, across my shoulder. But at the end of it, like in the beginning of it, there's a diamond there. And there's two serpents, there's two Aztec serpents. One of the Aztec serpents is not in good condition. It's like destroyed. It's been through hell. And the other one, the rising one, that was a badass serpent. That one doesn't give a fuck about anything. That serpent is spitting out the diamond. He can give a fuck. He doesn't care about no diamonds. So that's why there's a serpent spitting out a diamond. And that symbolizes something to me. You know, symbolizes something. It symbolizes that power over riches. And to me, power is more than riches. Knowledge is more than riches. Human contact is stronger than riches. Real love is stronger than riches. giving your life for somebody, for a fucking stranger, and just putting it on the line, not caring about you, but putting your own life at risk for somebody else's life. That shit is worth more to me. Those little things are worth more than, to me, than riches of the world. There's this story about this guy, and this guy goes to the, man, this Rocky music is getting intense. Yeah, I think we should change. So there's this guy that has a dream, and when he has this dream, God tells him in the dream, when you wake up in the morning, go to the river, and there will be an old man in the river, and he's going to hand you over the most expensive, the most valuable treasure of your life. So as soon as he gets up, he runs to the river, and there was this old man in the river. And then he went up to the old man and he said, I had a vision, I had a dream, and God said that you were going to hand me over the biggest treasure of mine. So the old man hands him over something, the guy opens up his hand, and he hands him over a really big diamond. And he said, this is the biggest diamond in the world, and now it's yours. So the guy gets a diamond, and he gets so happy, he's so excited. He runs home with it. He was desperate. He didn't know what the heck to do. I mean, what do you do when you get the biggest diamond in the world? And he started thinking about how life was gonna be better. He started thinking about if he sold it, you know, he'll be rich and his life would change and his family's happy. I mean, all these thoughts went through his mind. But then at night, he couldn't sleep. He was scared of losing. He didn't want to bury it outside because it was too far away from him. He thought about when he had to go to the store, where was he going to take it? Where was he going to put it? Where was he going to stash it? What about when family came over or friends came over? Where was he going to have the diamond? How was he going to protect it? But if he's carrying it all the time, and what if he drops it and it gets scratched? This guy was obsessed with the diamond. This diamond became his god. The diamond became something on his pedestal. So then he's trying to go to sleep. And he can't go to sleep. He's so nervous about thinking, just imagining that he loses the diamond. Because you see, this was the best thing that ever happened to him. The diamond, the attachment, the drug, the cocaine, the gambling, the relationship, that handsome guy, that gorgeous girl, the guy of your dreams, the girl of your dreams, the husband of your dreams, the wife of your dreams, your career, your gambling, your addictions, your weakness, that one thing that makes you fucking shake and nervous. That diamond, this guy was so afraid of losing it. So then he gets up in the morning and he goes back to the old man. And he says, give me the real treasure. Because what I thought was the real treasure is nothing but torture, because I'm afraid of losing it. I'm afraid of somebody stealing it from me. I'm afraid of it just vanishing one fucking day and I won't have anything. And I will not know how to live without it, because this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. So give me now the real treasure that God said you would give me. Give me the real treasure, because there's no way that this thing that tortures me just by me thinking about losing it, I don't think this could be something from God. So he says, I want the same power that you had to hand over the biggest diamond in the world, and how easy you gave it to me in my hands without you holding it. I want that willpower of letting go the biggest treasure in the world. I want that power rather than this diamond. So he extends his hand out. He hands him over the diamond. And he says, okay, now go home and enjoy your treasure. The guy goes home empty-handed. And he was thinking about this whole situation. And indeed, he did walk away with his treasure. The diamond was never the treasure. The diamond was the attachment. The real jewel, the real treasure, was the power, the willpower of letting go. The power of surrender, the power of defeat, the power of acceptance, and the power of letting go something really valuable and walking away. And that's what we have to do. That's it. Otherwise, we're always going to have attachments. We hop around from one attachment to the other attachment. We hop around from one addiction to the other addiction. I met somebody recently, and this person was sharing her testimony with me. It was very powerful. She said that her husband, or ex-husband, that he's in prison right now. But he was not always in prison. Okay. So she said that the story began over 25 years ago. At some point, the guy, you know, was an alcoholic. So then he stops being an alcoholic. And then he hops over to do drugs. And then after that, he was a good guy. You know, he wasn't messing around no more. And after that season, you know, he started acting up again. He started dealing drugs and weapons. She ends up doing a few years in jail. She loses her kids. The guy's gone. The guy's like wanted. She took 2 years that didn't belong to her. You know, but she didn't want to get him in trouble, so she took the hit. They eventually get back together. The guy eventually cheats on her. She forgives him. And he cheats again. When I heard her testimony and I heard that eventually he got in trouble again with the law and everything, I thought about my theory, or not my theory, I mean the theory, about repeated cycles and repeated addictions and repeated patterns of addictions. You know, because we can hop from one codependency to the other, from one addiction to the other. And that was a perfect, perfect example. One guy, different diamonds, different attachments, different passions. I mean, the passion that he got from sex is probably the same passion that he got dealing weapons and drugs and moving all this fucking money. The same passion that he got from that is when he, you know, when he was cheating on his wife with two girls. The same fucking pattern. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. If you get a notepad and you write everything down, it's the same pattern. You know, if he's making money dealing drugs and weapons and all that stuff and he's making money, trust me, there's a honeymoon phase to that shit too. Just like passion, just like sex. Just like a relationship. Toxic relationship, I should say. It all goes hand in hand. You got the honeymoon phase, you got the hungover phase, you got the justification phase, and you have the acceptance phase of like, well, it wasn't that bad. Well, just one more time. It's all the same thing. But anyways, I'm going to close this episode. I don't want to keep the episode that long, but this is just real talk. It's talk from the heart. And I hope you guys are... Hope you guys are enjoying it. Give me some feedback. Let me know. Let me know what you guys think about this. And let me know what you guys would like for me to make a podcast about. There is a few people that want to do podcasts with me already. my son wants to do a podcast with me, and I have three other people that want to do podcasts with me too. I have one person that I would like to do a podcast on something different about astrology. This girl's she has a very good good input on astrology. I would like to talk to her because I would love to do a podcast with her so she can school us on astrology. She's good. She's really good. And the reason I say she's good is because I compared her work to other astrologers, and somehow she always hits it. Like, it's like, how do you say, the stuff that she says is accurate with what's going on. So that's why I gravitate towards her. She's good. And like I said, there's other podcasts that I have in mind that I'm going to make. But so far, like I said, this one was about letting go and learning how to lose. You know, there's this thing called the UFC. And in the UFC, there's a lot of tough guys in there. Very tough guys. It's mixed martial arts. These guys go to war. These guys go at it. I mean, these guys go at it. There's broken bones. There's broken noses. There's broken arms, broken shoulders. It gets bloody. And there's a champion. But the champion doesn't stay champion forever. Because you have this guy that's training to beat that guy. And it just goes back and forth. I mean, there's never one guy that's undefeated at the UFC. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And if he's undefeated, trust me, he's only undefeated for about a year, year and a half. So the next guy comes up, and it's just science. It's just numbers. It's just physics. I mean, you got 1,000 fighters. One guy is not going to be champion forever. Please. There's a lot of factors. So same thing. They have to accept their defeat. They have to accept their loss. And when it's time to walk away, we walk away. So anyways, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Give me some feedback. Let me know. Let me know what you guys think, okay? See you guys soon. Take care now. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon, wherever you're at. Bye.